All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. John LeCoq in a YouTube super chat says, "Workers of the world unite." Turns out if you do, you actually get more jobs. Anyway, Heiserberg writes in, referring to Donald Trump giving himself an A+ in foreign policy. Must have gotten an A+ from Betsy DeVos's approved school. Or maybe from Trump University.
Maybe.
There will be wit, says MSNBC, is progressive like Trump is honest. Evan says MSNBC leans back with its mind on its money and its money on its mind. That is actually excellent because that is almost exactly what it does. Mm-hmm. Brandon Atkins says, I guess Trump was right about one thing. MSNBC is tired of winning. So they don't want to do that anymore. And finally, the Stu says, well, if Chris Hayes gets the boot from MSNBC, I won't mind seeing him on a certain Friday power panel. He's not saying anything, he's just saying, okay? And I hear you on that, brother. Our managing editor, Jonathan Larson, used to be the executive producer of Up with Chris Hayes on the weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe I did, but I forgot. Anyway, love Jonathan Larson, he's awesome.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dylan Radigan, now a contributor at TYT Politics, also formerly of MSNBC. Check all that out at youtube.com/TYT Politics. In fact, that's where our first story comes from.
Yes, our reporter Naomi LeChance, one of our newest reporters, got an exclusive for this story, so let's do it. A Columbus, Ohio man by the name of Raymond Gates has just been sentenced to 9 years in prison for his involvement of a rape involving a 17-year-old girl. Now, what made this story stand out from other rape cases in the country is the fact that there was the 18-year-old friend of the victim who happened to live stream this rape as it was occurring. It was live streamed on Periscope. So initial reporting indicated that a Periscope video live streamed by 18-year-old Marina Lonina showed the young woman yelling, no, it hurts so much, please stop and please no. And that's according to police documents provided to Teen Vogue. Now, the person who broke this story, reported on this story, I should say, for Teen Vogue was Naomi LeChance. She is one of the newest reporters here at the Young Turks. And she managed to get exclusive videos of Raymond Gates speaking to Columbus, Ohio detective, to a Columbus, Ohio detective about his side of the story and what he believes happened that night. Now, before we get to the video, let me give you some more details about the story. The victim described herself as very intoxicated. At one point, she was sitting on the bed talking to Raymond. She tried to stand but stumbled back. That's when he got on top of her and began kissing her, according to the police. The victim told the police that after the rape, she cried as Raymond spooned her. Before she left, she asked him why he had assaulted her. He told her that he did not know what taking a girl's virginity was like, and he thought she was okay with it, according to the police document. Now, with that said, here are some of his answers to the detective's questions while this case was being investigated.
The video, the problem is that the video, she was live streaming at the time.
Okay.
A bunch of people saw it.
Okay.
Hundreds.
All right.
And yes, there is, she is sitting with you on the bed and stuff. But when it comes down to the point where you're actually going to penetrate her, starting to penetrate her vagina, she screams, no, stop.
No, we were talking the whole time. I mean, girls get, she's a virgin and stuff, man. She said before that, she said, I don't give a fuck what you do. She said that, is that on the video? When she was like, I don't care what you do. I don't care, you know? I mean, I took a girl's virginity before, you know. She's in my fucking bedroom, dude. She's in my bedroom. She's right there. I'm not a fucking rapist, dude. I am not a rapist. I am a good guy. I've only been with a few women. I am not a rapist. This girl came back to my house. She's 18. She's a virgin. She's telling me she wants to lose her virginity, man. She's ready to do it and everything. And then right a couple seconds before, and she's like, I don't know and stuff like that. I mean, that's how girls get when they lose virginity. And then afterwards, we're like holding each other and stuff. And she's like saying she's not mad at me. She's not upset with me. They got drunk. I got drunk. She's in my bedroom. She's upstairs and everything. She's telling me, yes, everything's cool. She's cool with making out. She's cool with us getting naked. She's cool with us being there. And then all of a sudden, you know, right, a couple seconds before, I mean, I'm sure that's what happens. Girls are like, oh, you know, I don't know, it's going to hurt and stuff like that. I'm like, it's okay. It's going to be okay, you know?
Okay.
So This is why lawyers tell you to get a lawyer before you go and talk to the cops. And if you're the victim, you're glad he didn't because he just confessed. Mm-hmm. He said a couple of seconds before we did it, she said stop.
Yeah.
So that's when you're supposed to stop.
Exactly.
And so he keeps saying it. And look, I bet you there's tons of guys out there going, come on, dude, she was already there. Come on, dude, she's already there is not an excuse. Yes, a woman is allowed to tell you no at any moment. She is. And look, even if you don't care about her and you don't think it's right, you don't think it's fair, you're going to go to prison, dude. He's going to prison for 9 years. If she says no at any point, stop. Otherwise, you're going to prison. So if she said stop before the sex began, then you don't do the sex. So it might be inconvenient to you, or maybe you're drunk, and maybe, oh, but dude, she's already in my bedroom, is not a legal defense.
I don't know if it comes from ignorance or if it comes from people just not caring, knowing what the law is and just not caring to follow it. But you're right, at any point, regardless of what led to the situation, at any point, any person, male or female, can say, I don't want to stop. And at that point, you stop. And he did not do that. We have another really quick short video that I want you to watch. Here's another part of his answer. And by the way, you can watch the full video at youtube.com/TYTpolitics. Great reporting by Naomi LaChance. Let's take a look.
Right, when she screamed, stop, please don't do this, it hurts so much.
I was already inside of her at that point. I mean, like the, oh no, stop, I'm already like inside of her there, man. It's already, like, that's when she's like, oh, it hurts, which it hurts when a girl gets her virginity taken.
So, no, I understand that. But look, guys, again, even if you don't care about the morality of it and you don't care about the girl involved and et cetera, even if you're in the middle of the act and she says, no, you better stop, dude, you're gonna go to prison. So I'm telling you right now, if you don't, it's not about being a social justice warrior. It's not about like, oh my God, we're judging you. I'm telling you, you're gonna go to prison. Don't do it, okay? And so now onto the morality of it. Yeah, two people have to consent, guys. And if she changes her mind right before you're about to have sex, I guess that sucks for you, right? But she changed her mind. People are allowed to change their mind, and you're not allowed to, you know, to keep going without her consent. That's just not how it works. And so, and look, I don't know, man. Do I have to bother doing this? What if the shoe was on the other foot and it's two guys? And you know, you weren't sure, and next thing you know, you're like, no, I don't want to do it. And he keeps going.
Yeah.
When you didn't want him to, you changed your mind. And then he goes, what's the big deal, man? Yo, you're crying now? She said she was crying. Why did you assault me? So don't give me this stuff about the spooning, right?
Right. And she had said that, you know, she was crying as that was taking place. Look, regardless, he confessed to doing something that's flat out illegal. Once she says stop, and she repeatedly said stop, you have to stop. And he didn't do that, which is why he got sentenced to 9 years in prison. By the way, her friend, who was live streaming this rather than calling the police or doing something to help her, has been sentenced as well to 9 months in prison. And her argument, which was ridiculous, was, well, I wanted to help her and draw attention to it by live streaming it, but then I started getting so many likes on the Periscope.
So oh my God, oh Jesus Christ, help your friend. Okay.
So that's the society that we're living in. So look, when we're talking about rape culture, people have like this very knee-jerk negative reaction to it because they think that it's individuals trying to make a big deal out of nothing. But this kind of incident is a big deal. And the kind of excuses that the perpetrator made in that video or in those videos shows you exactly what rape culture is. It's this entitlement to someone's body, or it's this entitlement to sexual gratification because, hey, you know what? She was wearing something that was skimpy, or she came to my house, or she was drinking. No, those are not reasons, or those are not factors that give you any type of entitlement to her body, any type of entitlement to do anything you want to do to her.
Now, look, so let me give the male perspective here a little bit. And so I know what a lot of guys out there are thinking, okay? And not everybody, but a lot of guys are thinking, well, look, a lot of times girls say no and then they say yes. And in fact, if you go further and they're smart guys, they will say society trains them to say no. Otherwise, they'll feel bad about it, right? And I don't know if this still exists, by the way. I'm telling you from stuff from when I was growing up and what all the guys said, whether it was football locker room, whatever it was, right? Me, and this is definitely not about me because I did not get to that situation until later in life, unfortunately for me, in terms of having sex, etc. Right? So I'm telling you that a lot of guys, what they experienced was girls go, oh, no, and then they say yes. So if you think that that doesn't happen or that didn't happen, I don't know what's happening today. Let's not BS people. That's not true. A lot of times that does happen. So I also want to say, hey, girls, don't say no, then yes, then no, then yes, then no. Be clear. And I'm telling you, look, I got a daughter. I'm going to teach her the same thing. Be super, super clear. It's not victim blaming. It's saying, hey, look, it's not like, hey, don't go to his house, otherwise he'll rape you, or he has a right to rape you. No. You have a right to say no whenever you want. But I know when I was growing up, all the girls were taught, say no, even if you mean yes. And then
no girl is taught to say no even when you mean yes. No girl is taught. Do girls sometimes feel guilt after a sexual interaction, whether it's intercourse or whatever it is? Yeah, because we live in this puritanical society that tells us over and over again, don't have sex, don't open your legs, you're gonna be a slut, this and that, right? So yes, that exists. But no one is taught to say no, yes, no. And the scenario
they are.
No, they're not. No one sits a woman down and tells her, say no, but then say yes.
Society does, Anna. So society says
this is such a ridiculous conversation, especially considering the fact that in this particular story, that is not what happened. It wasn't even close to what happened. She said no several times. She never said no, yes. And also she said it hurt, she was in pain, and he continued. Which is why, again, there's video evidence of it, and he got sentenced to 9 years in prison.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm not defending the guy. I told you, I said 1,000 times that you're gonna go to prison if you do that. And I'm telling you that she has a right to say no, no matter when. And a guy has the right to say no, no matter when, okay? But if you think society says, oh, to women, just have sex whenever you want. It's awesome. Don't worry about it. So don't pretend that that it's something that you got talked into. That's just, I don't know. Again, maybe the generations have completely changed. And the stuff that I heard when I was younger is just totally not valid anymore. And girls are totally empowered, which would be great, right? And they say, oh yeah, I want sex and let's do it, right? But when I was growing up, girls were taught, like by society in general, say, oh no, I definitely don't want it. I definitely don't want it. Okay, fine, you convinced me, okay? Mm-hmm. It's in every movie. Go back and watch movies in the 70s, 80s, 60s, 50s. No, oh you got me. It's in Christmas songs. And they like, hey baby, it's cold outside. No, I gotta go. But baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go. If you are in a situation where a woman says no once, okay? I don't care if you're in the middle of it. I don't care if it's about to happen. I don't care if it's like 1 year down the line, okay? Once she says no, stop. And then if she comes back to you and says, yes, this is what I wanna do, okay? I made a mistake, then proceed, right? I think it's pretty simple.
No, I'd go further than that. Guys, if she says no at any point, just go home. Everybody go home, okay? So if on another day you guys wanna have sex, great, awesome, okay? Anybody says no at any point, just go home. And so, for the 18th time, 19th time, and when she says no, you stop, okay? There's no ands, ifs, or buts. What I'm telling society overall, and maybe we already won on this issue and I'm wasting my breath, but stop telling girls that sex is a bad thing so that they feel like, oh, you gotta talk me into it. Oh, I don't want sex, and then say yes later because then I feel better about myself. As a society, let's stop putting that into girls' heads because it leads to situations that are less than clear, and then we have girls getting raped because they actually didn't want sex, and the guy thought, dude, I don't know, I'm not a rapist. I didn't drag her into the alley. I just when she said no, I kept going because I thought she meant yes. So look, whether it's your kids, your son or your daughter, I say tell them the same exact thing. No means no, stop immediately. And no matter what you are, be as clear as you can be. Look, we're all human, but as clear as you can be so that we don't get into these situations.
All right, let's move on. A Ferguson protester allegedly committed suicide in the back of a vehicle while two females were in the car with him. This is Edward Crawford, and he was actually the subject of an iconic photo during the Ferguson protests. This is a photo of him throwing a tear gas canister, and he had claimed later that the reason why he threw it was because cops had thrown it toward the protesters. And he was trying to throw it away from them so no one would get hurt. Now, let's skip ahead to graphic 7. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department told NBC News that Crawford shot himself in the back seat of a car while it was moving. That's according to two female witnesses who were seated in the front of the car. The victim began expressing he was distraught over personal matters to the witnesses. The witnesses heard the victim rummaging in the back seat, then heard a gunshot and observed the victim had sustained a gunshot wound to his head. Now, his father says, look, he was a happy guy. He had just secured a new job. He has 4 kids. Everything was going well. I don't believe it was a suicide. Now, he doesn't think that there was any foul play. He thinks that it was accidental, that he might have accidentally shot himself. But what is interesting about this story is that it follows a very similar pattern involving the deaths of other individuals in the same area over the last couple of years. Okay, so this is the St. Louis area. And just to give you a few examples, in November of 2014, 20-year-old DeAndre Joshua was found shot in the head with severe burns after being lit on fire. Joshua was discovered dead in his own car. Also in September of 2016, the body of Ferguson activist Darren Seals was discovered inside a burning car. Seals had been shot and police declared the death a homicide. Elite Daily also listed a total of 7 deaths in the St. Louis area that happened in a similar way. It was in cars. In the vast majority of cases, the cars had been, or the bodies had been burned, or the car had been set on fire. And look, it seems suspicious, but we don't have any type of evidence indicating that there's, you know, one person or a group of people doing this to a specific demographic. We just know that there's a lot of similarities. There seems to be a pattern, and it's suspicious.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. I don't even have a theory. But
yeah.
I do know that it is a weird mystery because look, 3 guys involved in the Ferguson protests wind up dying, they're all young. That's already weird, but maybe it's not that big a community. If it's Chicago, you say, okay, I mean, 3 people in a big city, that could totally happen, right? Okay, but 2 of them get shot and burned in their car. God, that is so specific. That's 2 years apart, by the way. One of them on the night that they said that the officer was, you know, the night the officer was acquitted and found not guilty of shooting Mike Brown. So it's just, I don't know anything more than it is super weird. Now the 3rd person dies. And I want to say one more thing about the picture, the iconic picture. So Jesus, if you can bring that back, the first one, the graphic 4. So this picture was so iconic, it won a Pulitzer Prize. This is, like sometimes as Ben says, pictures lie. And this both, is it worth 1,000 words and lies at the same time? So a lot of right wingers use this picture like, oh, you see that? He's like throwing like a Molotov cocktail at the cops. In reality, no, that was a tear gas canister that the cops had fired at the protesters. And he didn't want to have the kids around there get harmed. So he actually put himself in peril to grab the burning canister and throw it away from the kids.
Right.
The cops were really far away. He said, I couldn't throw a baseball that far, let alone a burning gas canister, right? So, and the local people there, including state senators, call him a hero for throwing that gas canister away from the people who were protesting in the area, including kids. And he's wearing an American flag t-shirt. I mean, it does tell you the story of misunderstandings in America.
Yeah.
Where some people look at the picture and see a dangerous guy who's attacking the cops. But if you actually find out the real story, it's actually a guy who was protecting the community.
Right.
And it was right or wrong, the cops who'd fired that tear gas canister in the first place right next to them.
Right. Look, it's a great photo, and you don't see a whole picture when you look at that picture. You don't see where the cops are. You don't see how far away the cops are. And so people can look at that and they can have varying perspectives based on what their internal biases are. And that's a perfect example. This picture is a perfect example of that. How, depending on your ideology, you'll look at a picture and you'll interpret it completely different from others.
Yeah, but either way, unfortunately, Edward Crawford, now deceased, third protester in that area, killed in the last 3 years in under strange circumstances. So, but we don't yet know the whole story.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Texas does something truly terrible to kids who need to be adopted. And also later on, Bow Wow, if you remember him, he's in a little bit of trouble with the internets. So stick around.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Member shout outs of the day are David Zapp and Leonard Rucker. Thank you guys for making independent media possible. You too can do that. If you join us at tytnetwork.com/join. Let me read some tweets, although they on this controversial topic. Michael Williams says, I agree with Cenk on this. When I was growing up, I was told that when a girl says no, that means yes. Mimi says, Anna, thank you for stepping in there. There's no wrong way of saying no. W.B. Steinem says, rape culture still influences this victim blaming, and patriarchy still influences slut shaming. Time to move into the 21st century. Diva Athens says, society sends the message that women needs to be talked into it. Movies, TV, songs, etc. teach it. It is part of rape culture. And Cynthia Townsend says, agree that playing hard to get needs to die. I hope we have moved past that. So that is all the different perspectives on that issue. All right, let's keep going.
All right. The Texas House has approved legislation, and now it will go to the Senate, involving adoption agencies and how they can discriminate against parents who are looking to adopt based on their genuine religious beliefs. Now, let me give you some more details. According to the Texas Tribune, under House Bill 3859, which advanced on a 94-51 vote, child welfare providers would be protected from legal retaliation if they assert their sincerely held religious beliefs while caring for abused and neglected children. The measure would allow them to place a child in a religion-based school, deny referrals for abortion-related contraceptives, drugs or devices, and refuse to contact with other organizations that don't share their religious beliefs. So, at the heart of this legislation is the idea that whether you are publicly or privately funded, if you are an adoption agency that has a religious belief, a sincerely held religious belief, and you disagree with the lifestyle of certain individuals, you don't have to adopt kids to them, right? If they're gay, they're Jewish, Muslim, right? It's insane, especially when you consider the fact that there are tens of thousands of kids in Texas right now that need to be adopted.
So they say, look, this is my religious freedom. My freedom says I get to discriminate against you. Now, first, just be honest about what your freedom means. You want to be able to discriminate. Okay, now, and you might say, look, in a religious context, that there's some logic in that. I discriminate by being a Baptist because I'm not a Lutheran, I'm not a Methodist. I decided that I'm going to be a Baptist. And now, on the other hand, it doesn't mean that you should go, you know, do something terrible to a Lutheran or a Jewish person or a Muslim person or anything along those lines. Now, so where does this fall in that spectrum? Well, if you want to run a Baptist adoption service and you want to discriminate against Jews and Muslims and gay people, I think you should be allowed to. It's America. Okay, you're allowed to do that. But and that discrimination would take the form of, you know, I'm just going to help good Baptist families get kids. I don't want to help the Jews get kids. I just don't want to help them. I'm not Jewish. I'm Baptist. Okay, but, and this is a very important but, you can't use government money. That's all of our money. That's my money to help you discriminate. Go discriminate with your own money. Say, hey, you know what? I got this wonderful Baptist thing, and I don't like the. Or whether you don't like them, or you're indifferent to Jews, Muslims, gays, etc., whatever. But I'm not helping them. I'm not helping them. Great, with your own money, do whatever the hell you like, okay? But if you're going to use government money, and they do, it's backed by government money. I don't want you to use my money to discriminate against, first of all, anyone, but also people like me.
No, I'm going to go even further than that, okay? I don't care how you're funded. You should not be allowed to discriminate, especially when it involves the well-being of a child that needs to be adopted, okay? You guys are gonna run your mouths about how women should not be allowed to have abortion, should not be allowed to access contraceptives because you care about the lives of these children so much. And then you're gonna turn around and say, no, you know, these kids need a home, but I don't like that person because she's gay. I don't like that person because he's Jewish. I don't like that couple because they're Muslim. I mean, think about how incredibly destructive these policies are. You guys are literally in the business of destroying lives. You're not in the business of doing good, okay? If you want to use your religious status to persecute women for their reproductive rights or persecute certain individuals because they don't fit your perfect little cookie cutter lifestyle, well, then you're a bad person. You're destructive. You're destructive to the country, you're destructive to that state, and you're gonna ruin the lives of these kids who, again, are in need of a loving home.
So I'm agnostic, for example. So if I'm in Texas and I wanna adopt a kid, me and my wife do, and they say, no, we're gonna take your money in Texas. And then we're gonna make sure with that money, you're not allowed to adopt kids because we want to just go into Christians and not to no good agnostics or atheists like you. Mm. Well, what the hell? You're not allowed to discriminate against me with my own money. That's insanity. So even if you don't agree with Anna, and I do, but if you don't, you've gotta agree that you can't like say to a Jewish guy in Texas, no, I'm gonna take your money and then I'm gonna use it to discriminate against you and make sure you're not allowed to adopt kids. What? That's insane.
I'm so tired of these people. I'm tired of how illogical they are. I'm tired of them pretending like they're so self-righteous and they're so great when in reality they are destructive, okay? Now, real quick, I do want to toss to a video from KRIS TV from Corpus Christi, Texas. A good friend of the show, Stefania Jimenez, shared this with us. Let's take a quick look. It interviews some people who have already felt the burden of this type of legislation.
We've had a couple of people call wanting to adopt a child because they were refused at another agency due to being gay or lesbian.
Supporters say the bill would protect faith-based agencies from being sued, and LGBT couples will be able to work with other agencies who don't have religious objections. But others say it's discrimination.
I worry about this idea that somehow we've decided that it's okay to just blatantly discriminate against people and not put kids in homes with parents who are suited to raise them.
So there's one other part of this. You know, all the talk of the Judeo-Christian heritage, and mm-hmm. you remember the Orthodox Jewish reporter who asked Donald Trump a question and mm-hmm. Trump told him to sit down. He made a great point about this when he was on the Young Turks before that. He's like, I don't remember the Judeo-Christian heritage in the 1930s or 40s, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we're all about the Judeo-Christian heritage and how much they love Israel, etc. But the minute you open up a door that allows them to discriminate, they're like, not the gays, not the Muslims, and of course not the Jews. Right? So don't open the door. That's what this leads to. And if you're proud of your discrimination, etc., keep it to yourself. Under no circumstances should government money that we all pay taxes for be used to make sure that these loving families who are looking to adopt people and help them live and prosper, which should be a pro-life position, are banned from doing so from these agencies. Because some people wanted their religious freedom to discriminate against you.
Yeah, it's funny because we never have discussions about freedom from religion, right? Because religion is not supposed to dictate the lives of every single person. One specific type of religion is not supposed to dictate the lives of every single person in this country. But over and over again, it's one specific religion dictating the lives of every single American. And it drives me absolutely insane. There's no logic behind it. A lot of times it's irrational. And in this particular case, it really, really gets under my skin, especially when you consider how many of these kids do need to find a home, do need to find a loving family. And these are individuals who are going to these adoption agencies and making a huge sacrifice because they want to be parents, they want to help.
And this vote wasn't even close. It passed the House 93-49. They're like, oh yeah, discrimination, it's awesome, let's do it. It's Texas, man, that's the Texan way.
Yeah.
And yeah, You're right, Anna. It drives me crazy every time. Like, what? You know what it reminds me of course? Sharia law. This is what fundamentalist Muslims say. No, you're not allowed to draw the Prophet Muhammad. Why? I'm not Muslim. I don't believe what you believe.
Right.
No, my rules apply to everybody, right? And here's Christians saying, you're not allowed to adopt these kids, even if you're using government money. Why? I'm not a Christian.
What if a group of entrepreneurs in Texas who happen to be Muslim start some sort of adoption agency and they decide we will only adopt these kids to Muslim families and that's it.
And
no
what
Christians,
if they say,
no nothing. Would you guys be okay with that?
And they say, look, this is our interpretation of Sharia law. And we think, you know, of course we're gonna discriminate against Christians. Christians are totally wrong. They don't believe in the Prophet Muhammad. There's something wrong with Christians. Of course we wouldn't let poor Texas babies go to dirty, wrong Christian families.
Right.
Right? And by the way, give me your government money. Give me your government money and I'm gonna make sure that Christians and the Jews can't get your kids.
And it goes beyond religion. If you're an interracial couple and they don't like that, they can use that as an excuse as well. Great.
All right. So guys, we've got a great post game for you guys. Also, we're gonna do one more segment for you, including the memo from Steve Harvey that he sent to the staff is unbelievable. So come right back and we'll tell you all about it. All right, back on the Young Turks. Germidium says, it's doubly ironic given that fundamentalist religion is one of the largest sources of child abuse. Whether it's the Taliban in Afghanistan with the Hazara boys, or it's the Catholic Church with the child molestation that unfortunately is very
true. And rape.
And Resist the Swamp says, Anna's on a roll tonight. They claim to be pro-life and do nothing, but do nothing but show otherwise once a kid is born. Right, once they're born, they're not pro-life anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, we've got two more really interesting story for you guys.
These are fun stories. I should have fun with them. I'm just so salty right now.
No, me too.
Okay.
That's okay. Let's do it.
A memo that Steve Harvey wrote when he was previously working in Chicago has been leaked by a member of his staff. Now, we don't know who leaked it, but we do know that the details of this memo are pretty hilarious. Now, the memo was sent from Harvey to his staff and it surfaced earlier on a Chicago media blog telling employees not to approach him. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak to you directly. Now we have more details of it, but the gist of this memo is, I don't want to talk to you, so please do not approach me. This is to his own staff. This is not to like randos that come to see his show live. This is his staff. These are people who work for him and work on his show, producing his show, ensuring that his show runs smoothly. And he's like, you need to have an appointment to talk to me, okay? So he also says, there will be no meetings in my dressing room, no stopping by or popping in, no one.
Yeah, there's some chance that there is a better way to write this memo. So look, he's incredibly famous and probably incredibly busy. He does a bunch of shows, Celebrity Family Feud, Little Big Shots. Now he's got a new revival of Showtime at the Paul. I don't know why I'm giving him a plug when he's such a dick. But anyway, mm-hmm. So I hear you, you're busy. I hear you, brother, mm-hmm. Okay? Having said that, that doesn't give you license to be such a douche to people you work with. There's a way of saying, hey guys, look, I'm overwhelmed. Can you please make an appointment, right? Hey, you know what? It's gotten really out of hand. I'm gonna insist on appointments. Instead of like, nobody look at me, nobody come near me, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, look, it goes on and on here.
No, but okay, before we go on, I just wanna note that this kind of behavior is applauded in this industry, okay? If you're nice, you will not get job offers, you will not be respected, you will be trampled all over constantly, day in and day out. If you're in this industry and you act like a douche, you will be treated like absolute royalty. He might be playing it right. No, he's not maybe playing it right. He 100% is playing it right. For everyone else who's reading this, we're laughing about it because it seems so ridiculous, right? But again, in this industry, agents are probably like losing it in their pants over this. Like, oh my God, we gotta give Steve Harvey another show. That's what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's this stupid mentality of like, if you're an alpha male, meaning you're a jerk to everybody, then you must be important and powerful. So that's what empowers these kind of insane memos. So let me give you more. He says, do not open my dressing room door. If, this is in caps, if you open my door, expect to be removed. Who says that to a colleague, to someone you work with? Like the hubris of that, like I am important and you are nothing, I will remove you from my presence, is unbelievable. I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me. I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment. I promise you, I will not entertain you in the hallway. And do not attempt to walk with me. Do not attempt to walk with me. Come on, dude, are you not hearing yourself? You're telling people you work with, I don't want you even to be next to me. Like, I have such disdain for you that I'm annoyed by your presence. Again, I get it, man. People are probably coming up to you all the time asking you for stuff, or probably if they're working on your TV show and they're your TV staff, they're probably asking you about the goddamn show. And at some point you gotta answer them. Okay, you wanna do it in a more organized way? I hear you, okay? But don't yell at people like this and don't, like, but Anna's absolutely right. The person who writes this memo is the person who's told day in, day out, you're awesome. Steve Harvey, you're the greatest. Nobody should even be in your presence. You're so great and important that people shouldn't even walk next to you.
Yeah, authenticity doesn't really go a long way. Being sincere and nice doesn't really go a long way. Being an asshole goes a very, very long way. And that's the most frustrating part about all of this.
In another part of the memo, if he says, if you're reading this memo and you think this is as implied, I mean, you're wrong. No, I mean you, right? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're, I don't know, presumably the executive producer, whoever you are. You're not as important as Steve Harvey. And then he clarifies at the end, this is the one actually that pissed me off the most. It's one thing like, hey, I gotta get things done and we gotta get the show on there, right? It's another thing when you say this, everyone, do not take offense to the new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment.
Oh, okay.
Oh, why didn't you say so, man? Oh, it's for your enjoyment that we not be near your presence. Okay, I thought it was for something, you know, not important. I didn't know it was that important for your personal enjoyment. Okay, my bad. Sorry, sir. Hey, by the way, this is the same guy who rails against people who don't believe in his particular voodoo.
Right? Against gay people.
Against gay people, against Asians. And if you don't, he's like, oh man, what kind of crazy person doesn't realize that virgin may, you know, have births that lead to prophets, even though they never had sex, and those guys walk on water and raise people from the dead. You have to be an idiot and crazy to believe, to not believe that. Okay, whatever, Steve, okay? Luckily, I will follow your advice, and I never, ever, ever want to be in a room with you. So,
yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Very Christian of him, by the way, to treat his staff this way.
Totally. Thank you, Anna. So, like, I am a high and mighty Christian. There's no good atheists and there's no good other religions. Okay, they're the worst. They're not moral at all. Don't you come near me. I am so much more important than all of you. I think that's what Jesus would have said, right?
All right, let's end on a fun note. That was supposed to be a fun story, but we got all like worked up about that too.
I know. We're in a real salty mood. It's true. But you know what? Fuck Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
Oh, no, by the way, if I say it a couple more times, job offer later.
Yeah.
He's like, Steve Harvey, fuck you, me, bigger alpha male than you. Oh, they're like, oh, this guy's good.
Yeah, like if there's like a executive, you know, who's developing a show and you want to be named as the host of the show, you just have to like piss on him. Like literally physically piss on him, like mark your territory and be like, oh my God, hired. We'll pay you whatever you want.
Yeah, no, like if you watch Silicon Valley on HBO and they kid around, have you watched it at all?
Yes.
About putting their balls on the table and stuff. There is some truth to it. I mean, don't put your balls on the table. But outside of that metaphor, it's true, man. You insult people, they say, oh yeah, absolutely. And we're encouraging you to do the wrong things. Don't do it at work.
Like no, don't actually do it. Be okay. A good person. I hope sometime down the line it will actually pay off.
And it's not going to pay off at your local like Walmart or Waffle House or something if you don't have any kind of power.
Right.
But do you see what I'm saying? Yes. It's for douchey entertainment types. So take it easy. Okay.
All right. Social media oftentimes shows us a little peek into the lives of celebrities that might not be completely accurate. Case in point, Bow Wow, who's still around, kind of amazing, and he's 30, which is also amazing. He recently posted something on Twitter and then got caught lying about that post. Now, let's take a look at the post in question. It shows a private jet and a Mercedes, and you know, he's like, yeah, growing up hip hop Atlanta press tour starts today, I'm on the move, okay? And then he includes a hashtag that I don't understand. So, yeah. And then the best part about this story is he immediately gets caught on a commercial flight by an individual who basically put him on blast on Twitter. So let's take a look at that post. Okay, so this guy, Little Bow Wow, is on my flight to New York, but on Instagram, he posted a picture of a private jet captioned traveling to NY today, shaking my head. Oops.
I like the balls on this guy tweeting from a plane with the Twitter handle Osama bin drinking.
Okay. So the best part about this though isn't just that he got caught, because who knows, maybe he took that photo at some other point. He just wanted to, you know, show up. No. He just straight up stole the photo from a random website. The shot can clearly be seen on the website for Fort Lauderdale VIP Trans.
Okay, and the person who noticed that and then put it up on Twitter, their Twitter handle is FBI. Okay, there's a lot of appropriate Twitter handles here.
Okay, I love that. Look, I love this story because it allows me to make a broader point, which I think a lot of you already know, already understand. But a lot of young people get, you know, tricked into thinking, oh yeah, all of these like Instagram models, they're like super rich and famous, and they're like traveling the world, and they're like globetrotters. Globetrotters are like basketball players, right?
Yeah.
Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah,
but I know a thing or two.
But it also means that you travel around the world,
right.
And have a great time.
Right, but look, social media is BS. My social media is BS. Everyone's social media is BS, okay? You talk up your life and you make it seem like everything's so perfect and everything is so great, but in reality, we're all people and we all deal with drams behind the scenes, right? You know, we're doing us, we're having fun, but in reality, we have the same problems as everyone else. So if you see like a sexy, like modeling type photo and you're like, oh yeah, so like fabulous and fashion. No, that photo shoot was a gigantic pain in the ass. And mostly you didn't want to do it, and you're worried about 58 other things that you have to do that day, and you're probably also poor. People on Instagram are poor, they are, except for people like Kendall or Kylie Jenner, who get paid like $250,000 to post a promotional pic for something.
Yeah, and even Hassan Piker does not walk around all day like this.
Yeah, or like this, or like this, with like 50,000 rings on.
Yeah, I'm calling him Rodan now. Every picture's like. Anyway, the only Instagram account that is accurate is mine. I took 3 pictures of food and then gave up.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to now, more bus nuts on Bow Wow. So people started this thing called the Bow Wow Challenge. Let's show you graphic 31 here. So guys saying like, hey man, I got my Rolex on and I'm driving my Mercedes. This is just the beginning, right?
So
they're like, okay, that's funny. And then they started doing this. On vacation in Hawaii, it looks like her thighs.
Oh, it's so good.
Right,
it's,
and the reality.
What I love about this one is that girls love to take this particular shot when they're on vacation. I've done it. We've all done it, girls. We've all done it.
Just fess up.
Yeah.
Know that you too have a Bow Wow somewhere in you. That sounded weird.
That was terrible.
That was really, really bad. Okay. That's a different Bow Wow challenge. Anyway, I like this one too. They really did a good job. It looked like they were big bottles.
About to turn up, y'all. That was really good. Okay, do we have another one?
No,
we don't. Those are the best ones. Okay,
that's it. We're all out of Bow Wow challenge. All right.
Anyway, we're all full of shit.
Conclusion: we're all full of shit. Okay. Anyways, we're also out of time. So for members, Aggressive Progressive starts at 6 o'clock. Actually, for everybody, stay right here. Aggressive Progressive starts at 6 o'clock. First segment is free and available to everybody. Make sure you check that out. Jimmy and Steve are usually on fire. I hear Jimmy Dore is the only Honest Man left at TYT.
Oh yeah, of course.
And so anyway, and the members get the whole show, and you also get the post game that Anna and I are about to do. TYTnetwork.com/join. Bye bye.